some of you have had a very long innings today and a very long innings this week. So, let me again tonight. In the interest of brevity, they've only given me six verses again, but let me, in the interest of brevity, just highlight the theme of our session this evening. We started together on Monday evening with that simple phrase, one man. And that seems to have stuck with people. We trust it will in the weeks ahead. Don, after you've forgotten anything that I and Steve have said, I hope that simple theme, one man, will remain with you. Secondly, on Tuesday evening, we thought together on the simple, practical expression, wanted, dead, and alive. I hope that will remain with us, that we will just keep an account of that which speaks to us being dead and alive. Wednesday evening, last evening, we just thought of that lovely expression, free at last, free at last. Praise God, we're free at last. Well, what a thing just to keep with us as we move through this scene. There can only be one title this evening. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Well, that just remains with you tonight. We are debtors. One way to just summarise this passage in perhaps slightly graphic language and said this. Instead of our bodies being a clod, whatever that might be, instead of our bodies being a clod, he says, and a weight, handicapping us with a hopelessness that it seems impossible to overcome. Instead of it being some dismal prison of the soul, it is to become the implement of God for a conspicuous life of beauty and power. What a possibility. What a possibility. Do you want your body to be a clod or a weight? Is that how we'd like it to be described? Handicapping us with hopelessness. Impossible to overcome. Do we want these bodies of ours to be looked at as some kind of prison? Some dismal prison of the soul? That's not what God has in mind. This is God's intention. That these bodies of ours, says this writer, should become the implement of God for a conspicuous life of power and beauty. Can anybody describe your life like that tonight? A angels speak to us now of beauty and power. Could anybody describe my life like that this evening? I think so often the phraseology clods and weights handicapping us. Prisons of the soul would maybe just describe our Christian lives the best. Perhaps the word best isn't the right word, but you know what I mean. I covet a life that is conspicuous by its beauty and power. And praise God, that is a glorious possibility. No one can read the 6 verses that we have read this evening. 6 amazing verses. Who has any spiritual exercise about them could never read those verses without standing back and saying, we are debtors. We don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve to have this possibility. We don't deserve to have a body, a life of beauty and power. We don't deserve any of this. We are debtors. But praise God, as we've heard already tonight, praise God, we haven't got to pay the debt. Praise God, it's all been paid. And all this is a glorious possibility for you and for me. Now, I don't need to say much about the flesh tonight. Much has been said about it eloquently already. And to try and add to that would just be folly. So I don't intend to. But I do just want to underline this again. That we are debtors, not to the flesh. Because so often, if you look at the lives of the people of God, and you look at my life, you might say, well, he is obviously a debtor to the flesh, the way he lives. The flesh, we've heard so much this week. The flesh, what we are in that one man that we thought of in the first night, that one man, Adam. That old nature. We're under absolutely no obligation at all to live down to the demands of the old man. To the demands of the old nature. And you notice my terminology. To live down to the demands of the flesh. The flesh is owed absolutely nothing. And, as we've heard, if we live according to the dictates of the flesh, it will bring both physical and spiritual death. It will, look at verse 5:15, it will produce a spirit of fear and bondage. Notice the little word again. We've been free from it all. Last night we thought that wonderful expression. Free indeed. Praise God. We're free at last. And yet, the tendency is to live down to all that and to be in that spirit of fear and bondage again. There was a continual fear, wasn't there, of failure under law. I just can't beat it. I just can't live up to it. I just can't reach it. And there was a continual fear of failure. Do I want to go back to that again? If you want to go back to that kind of fearful living again, you live as if you were a debtor to the flesh. But we're not. And the flesh is owed nothing. But nonetheless, we are still debtors. The challenge, we've had it brought before us tonight, the challenge is absolutely clear. We're not in the flesh. We're in the spirit, but as has been said so often in our Bible readings this week, we're not in the flesh, we're in the spirit, Nevertheless, the flesh is still in us. Still there. You never ever get rid of it. Because the flesh is totally incapable of change. It can't change. It won't change. Says the Saviour to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The two, they're contrary, the one to the other. The flesh is not incapable of being improved. It's not capable of being changed. So there's no point in trying. There's no point in striving. The flesh is in us. And as we've heard again tonight, our problem is not how to change the flesh into something good, because you can't. Our challenge is how to live with the flesh every day without being overcome by it. That's my challenge. Is it yours? Every day I live with this flesh. It's with me all the time. Everything I am apart from Christ. Everything I am in Adam. It's there clinging all the time. It's there lusting all the time. It is there warring against the Spirit all the time. I struggle against the power of the flesh in my life. And the challenge for me is to live with the flesh every day without being overcome by it. And I can only do it because of the indwelling Spirit of God. Are you glad the Spirit dwells inside you? Within you? I'm glad that the birthright of every child of God is the indwelling Spirit. And I know we don't need to say these things here, but let's stress them again. I can't get more of the Spirit than I got on the day I was saved. At 15 years of age, sitting down on the front row, on the front seat. Pole position. Little did I know, I was in pole position for glory that night. And I got there, by the grace of God. At 15 years of age. And I couldn't have told you then, I couldn't have explained it to you then, but that night at 15 years of age, I was indwelt by the Spirit of God. And I became a priest. Amazing. I couldn't have told you that, but I did. Indwelt by the Spirit of God. The people at work always have difficulties finding out. Always have difficulties in understanding how I could even take a wedding or take a funeral. But you're not a vicar. I'm not a vicar. I'm a head. And I think they used to think I supplemented my income by taking weddings and funerals. Little did they know. And sometimes I wish I had that in my mouth. Because to explain to someone you're a priest who had no idea what you were talking about was a bit of a challenge. But I didn't need a collar around me in a different way. I didn't need to be called a vicar. And I didn't need to be a vicar even to take a funeral or a wedding. But there at 15 years of age, didn't know it, couldn't explain it, I was indwelt by the Spirit of God, and I can't get more of the Spirit, and I couldn't get more of the Spirit than I got on that day. He doesn't give the Spirit by measure. I need to be continuously filled with the Spirit. But that's not getting something from the outside that's not already there. That's getting rid of the clutter in my life to ensure that the Spirit of God is able to continuously fill my life. That I might be of value to him. But I was indwelt by the Spirit of God. How can I just win this battle? How can I overcome this power struggle? This flesh, I'm not a debtor to the flesh. Don't live down to it. If you live down to it, Paul makes it clear to you, you will be spiritually dead. You will lose your spiritual vitality. You won't lose your salvation. You can never lose that. But you can lose your spiritual power and vitality. Don't live down to it. You have the tools, you have the ability to be the victor. You have the possibility of that life of yours not being a clod and a weight handicapping you. not being a dismal prison of the soul. You have the ability, with the Spirit of God living within, for that life to be a life of conspicuous power and beauty. How far, far short we often fall. And we have to fight that battle. Let me say this tonight. Totally dependent upon the Spirit of God, but it's our initiative with the Spirit's enabling. Unless it is done by us, it will never be done in us. It's not a question of sitting back and waiting for it all to happen, that this life of victory, this life of power, this life of beauty might be seen. It's not a question of sitting back and saying, well, the Spirit of God will make it all happen. If I'm not prepared to be productive, then unless it is done by us, it will never be done in us. Let's put it like this. The more death we bring to our fleshly ways, the more death we bring to our fleshly ways, the more life there will be in our members. The reward of death is life. Interesting, isn't it? Other way round, a world would find that hard to understand. Impossible to understand. That the reward of death, bringing death to my fleshly ways, mortifying the deeds of the body, putting to death, putting out of the way, excluding the deeds of the body, the reward for death is life in all its fullness. And we've got the possibility of it, but we just don't fight that fight of faith. God help us. So to do. Are you living? I'm not being aggressive tonight about this. I'm just asking, are you living? Or are you just existing? Are you going to be one of those at the end of the day, saved so as by fire? Or are you going to be one of those saved as one who is more than a conqueror through him that loved us? What a tragedy it will be. What a shame it will be if we ever tread this eternal truth, saved so as by fire, when we could have gone in as more than conquerors. As we so often say, no one lost at the judgment seat of Christ. But the possibility, distinct possibility is that we can suffer loss as a result of those lives that do not mortify the deeds of the flesh. Listen tonight. We've said it enough tonight in different ways by Stephen and I. We are debtors, not to the flesh. We are debtors though, and we need to win the battle so that the life of Christ might be seen in us. As we go tonight, I leave you with verses that you know so well you don't even need to look at your Bibles. But let me just leave you with this. I soon discover when I read this passage, I soon discover to whom I am a debtor. I think that's grammatically correct. Could be right afterwards if it isn't. I'm not a debtor to the flesh, but I am a debtor to God through His Spirit. The Spirit of God gets pretty poor coverage among us. We're afraid to talk about Him, lest we spill over into the excesses and errors of others. I owe so much to the Spirit of God. And so do you. He will just emphasize to you what a debtor you are. I just give you the headlines. We haven't got time to go through all the rest. Look at the Holy Spirit, number one, verse 14, he's made me a son of God. Look secondly, at verse 16, he's made me a child of God. Look thirdly, he's made us joint heirs with Christ, an heir of God, joint heirs with Christ. And there's still more to come. Verse 17, glorified together with me. Just sit back and top all that lot up. And I challenge anyone to tonight, before they go to bed, just sit there and top all that up. And I defy anyone to say that they're not better. Why? What I have in him is amazing. Notice, he's actually, at the beginning of this section here, he's actually brought about my adoption into the family of God as a son. Something no earthly person can ever bring about. No matter how much adoption goes on in this world today, children have been adopted today all over the country. Hundreds and thousands and millions of children have been adopted over the years, and they've been brought into the family. But they could never, whoever they were, they could never ever be a son. Never. By birth, that was absolutely impossible. They may be brought into a family and treated like a son, but they're not a son. But does it thrill you tonight to know this? That the Spirit of God has brought you into the family of God as a son. We are sons. Sons, it says, sons of God, verse 14. That's my position or my status in the family. Son of God. What a title. I sacrifice all the other titles I've got in life. I've been asking various people where I've been over these past few days what their title is, what they do. I was in John Richards yesterday and I was finding out all the titles that they hold. I'd sacrifice every title I've ever had for this. Son of God. Like, I'm a debtor. Here I am, adopted into the family. Adopted into the position of son. That is my status within the family. I've got two sons. That's their position in the family. They're my children. People ask me, have you got any children? I've got two children. And they say, what are they? As if they're some kind of animals. But what are they? Well, they were, but they've grown up into something. What are they? Their position in my family is sons. That's their status in the family. Their birth, children. Two children were born in the world to me. But their position and status in the family is that of sons. What does it say here? We're not only sons of God, but it actually says to us, doesn't it, in the verses, that we are, verse 16, a child of God. So that's our birth into the family. I was born of the Spirit of God at that age, about 15, in that assembly down in Sussex. I didn't know it, but that was what it was. Born of the Spirit of God. And here I was, a child of God. But here I was that same night, at the same time, that child was a son of God. Birth, status. Child of God. Son of God. I should have been able to sit there that night and said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Don't deserve this. Don't deserve any of it. But it's mine. And I possess it by divine grace. And look at what it says. You know it so well. It's already been said in prayer tonight. I think out the back, or maybe here. That position of child has brought me so close to the Father that I couldn't be closer. I can actually call that Father, Abba, Father. Don't trivialise that with common jargon, will you? I just simply like to say, I can call him Father, dear Father. Keep a reverence about it, won't you? Keep a dignity about it. Don't trivialise the language. So near, so very near to God. I cannot nearer be in the person of his Son. I am as near as he. And I can say, Abba, Father, dear Father. That's how close I am to the Father. Child of God, Son of God, Abba, Father. And as we draw to the conclusion, I stagger at what I've just said, and yet I can just about grasp it. But I can't grasp this, I just have to stagger at it. The Spirit of God has not only made me child of God, Son of God, the Spirit of God has made me an heir of God. An heir of God. I can't even begin to take that in, can you? What it is to be an heir of God. Can you begin to account what that is? If you could even begin to compute what that is, in a moment of time, you'd sit back and say, "Well, I'm a debtor." But he goes further than that. The Spirit of God has made me to not only an heir of God, but he's made me a joint heir with Christ. An heir with Christ and a joint heir with Christ. Staggering. Impossible to grasp. Because my Bible tells me he is the heir of all things. All things. And I am a joint heir with Christ. Brother Bill Craig, now in the glory and enjoying all this in reality. But he often used to say, and probably you've heard him say, brethren, we're not the offscouring of the earth. We are the aristocracy of heaven. And he lived like that. And he moved like that, and you got the feeling when you were with Bill, you were in the presence of aristocracy. Not this world's aristocracy, you just felt you were in the presence of one who knew he was the aristocracy of heaven. He's heir of all things. And I'm joint heirs with Christ. And as I close, there is more to come. The prospect, verse 17, is of being glorified together with him. But there's a cost to that. If you're going to know what it is to be glorified with him, you've got to know what it is to suffer, not for him, but suffer with him. And more of that tomorrow night. More of what is in view for us. Tomorrow night. This is enough for me tonight. As I lay my head on my pillow, in my lonely flat belonging to Alistair Sinclair, in the middle of Paisley where no one cares and no one's interested, and I go to bed just to think I'm the aristocracy of heaven. Just to think I'm as rich as all this. Just to think I'm an heir of God. And a joint heir with Christ brings tears to your eyes. And you're just glad that you belong to him. Listen, the hymn writer, top lady, put it so well, didn't he? A debtor to mercy alone. A covenant of mercy I sing. Nor fear with God's righteousness on. This is all that we've been doing today. In the Bible reading and the ministry. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience of blood hide all my transgressions from you. Glad you belong to him? I'm glad I belong to him and that I'm on my way to an eternal glory. I'm going to be very naughty tonight and probably never ever be asked to speak up here again. I'm going to give out a final gift, which I'd like us to sing number 7 in. Is that right? I saw him with John Richards just then. His wife's alright as well, so I'll get her to sort him out because he causes me trouble. Number 7, the debtor to mercy alone, covered mercy I see. Just sing this and just remember, we are debtors.